Well, I'm thankful for each one who has made the effort to come out this evening to hear our brother present the Word of God to us, and I'm thankful for those that are joining us on live stream as well. I'm going to ask that you give our brother Aaron your undivided attention this evening. Obviously, he's come prepared. You know, the more I have opportunity to work with Aaron, the more I enjoy that opportunity. You know, sometimes when you're talking, I talk to Andrew sometimes, and if I mention Aaron, the thought that comes to my mind is he's a solid guy. He's a guy you can trust in. He's a guy that's going to be there. So, and I know he comes today. He's prepared to bring us a message. So please give your attention to our brother Aaron.
Thank you, Andy. Good evening to you all. I greet you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I have as you can see, I didn't come prepared. I don't know. Hopefully it all makes sense. It's always a struggle. It makes sense in my mind. The problem is getting it out of here and getting it out there. So now I give you the title of my sermon. You know, if you have a pulse, then you have a purpose. I was sitting this morning and I was listening to our brother speak, and I began to become very worried as I thought that he was going to start preaching the sermon that I had begun to prepare. So, but he didn't quite preach on it all. But I'm going to preach on one of his points. Everybody remember what the third point that he made was? We got work to do, Pastor. Does anyone remember what the third point was? Find ways to serve. There we go. It's to find ways that we could serve. And so, it dovetails quite nicely into what I have to bring to you this evening. And I actually got this quote. I heard it off the radio. And there was you have to forgive me, I don't remember the story, I just remember the quote. But the gist of the story is there was this lady who had become very invalid. She had no way of really even carrying on doing much for herself. She had to live by, you know, others coming and doing the basic things for her, you know, helping her live and helping her to eat and helping her to just, you know, move about. And so she became very depressed because she didn't think she could do anything. And she came up with this, you know, and she was able to find a purpose in serving God because she still had a pulse. So that was her little mantra that she would tell to herself. You know, if you have a pulse, then you have a purpose. So I stole it because that's what we do. Good instructors, good teachers, they steal things. So we steal things left and right. A stolen quote. And so part of that purpose, of course, is service. But that service is it's a choice. We have to make the choice to serve. Something that does not come, you know, naturally. It's something that we have to choose outside ourselves, outside of our wants, outside of our desires. I'm going to flip over the first scripture of the day, or this evening. It's going to be found in the 16th chapter of Alma. I'm going to read verses 8 to 12. Now there was no law against a man's belief, for it was strictly contrary to the commands of God that there should be a law which should bring men unto unequal grounds. For thus saith the Scripture, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Now if a man desired to serve God, it was his privilege, or rather, if he believed in God, it was his privilege to serve him. But if he did not believe in him, there was no law to punish him. But if he murdered, he was punished unto death. And if he robbed, he was also punished. And if he stole, he was also punished. If he committed adultery, he was also punished. For all this wickedness, they were punished. For there was a law that men should be judged according to their crimes. Nevertheless, there was no law against a man's belief. Therefore, a man was punished only for the crimes which he had done. Therefore, all men were on equal grounds. So we have this free will, this agency to do as we please. It is a choice to serve or not to serve God. We do not have to serve him. We are bound by the laws of man, and if we choose not to serve those, there are consequences. If we speed on the road, we can get fined for that. You know, if we steal, we can be placed in jail. You know, there are things that are unacceptable. However, belief in God is not among those rules. We cannot be punished for that in this life, for not believing in God. It's our choice, and we must make that choice. And it's an all or nothing type of choice. There's no riding the fence. There's no halfway. I can serve him on these days and not these days. You know, it's all or nothing. Anything less or anything else is basically unacceptable. We have to give over our whole heart. We have to give over everything. Turning over in Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and the 22nd verse. I'm going to read through the 24th verse. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So here we have this in the words of Christ. You know, it's either you are full of light or you are full of darkness. You are either serving God or you are not. There's no in between. There's no halfway. You cannot ride the fence on this. It's either all or it's nothing. And you can't fail to choose, because that also is a choice. Cannot procrastinate your time. That is also a choice, not to serve him. So we must choose to serve or not to serve. So we must make that choice. All of you are sitting here today, so I'm assuming you've made some kind of choice. Choice to serve. So, after we choose, you know, choosing, we can be done inside our minds. We can choose to do that. But after we choose, is that it? No, I find that there are instances where this choice is not kept to ourselves. Many instances. You know, we are called to witness. We're called to spread the gospel. So we cannot keep this choice to ourselves. We must make a declaration. We must speak this. We must tell others what it is that we do, why we do it. That was another one of Andy's points this morning, being able to tell her is what we believe and why. You know, that's important. Comes after the choice. I'm going to go over to Joshua. I touched on this in my Sunday school class this morning. And I'm going to go back to it now. Joshua in the 24th chapter. Joshua 24, I'm beginning in the 14th verse, the 24th chapter of Joshua. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. What are the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood? Or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up, and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins, if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. And he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." "Now therefore, put away," said he, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." And the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey." You know, this was a very public statement. If you read in the beginning of the chapter, Joshua gathered all of Israel, all the tribes, and he made this speech unto them. And this was their reply. It was in front of all of their peers and their family and their friends. They all made this covenant. They all made this statement. You know, we will serve the God of this land, the God that brought us out of Egypt. And it's him who we serve, the one true God. You know, so now they're held accountable. They are witnessed against each other. You know, to hold each other accountable. They've made this public declaration. They didn't do it in secret. It's not some strange covenant they made in a cave or in the dark. It was out loud and in the light. And so they have made this declaration. I would ask you all, have you made this declaration? I'm going to go over to Messiah in the 9th chapter. Talk a little bit more about this declaration. Messiah in the 9th chapter, we begin in verse 38. "And it came to pass, and he said unto them, Behold, here are the waters of Mormon, he being Alma." Alma's brought these people out. They used to be in bondage to the Lamanites. He's brought them out. They're in the wilderness now. "And it came to pass, he said unto them, Behold, here are the waters of Mormon, for thus they were called. And now, as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God, and to be called his people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens, that they may be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as witnesses to God at all times, and in all things, and in all places that ye may be in, even unto death, that ye may be redeemed of God, and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. Now I say unto you, if this be the desires of your hearts, what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord, as a witness before him that ye have entered into a covenant with him, that he will serve, that ye will serve him and keep his commandments, that he may pour out his spirit more abundantly upon you. And now when the people had heard these words, they clapped their hands for joy and exclaimed, This is the desire of our hearts. And now it came to pass that Alma took Helam, he being one of the first, and he went and stood forth in the water and cried, saying, O Lord, pour out thy spirit upon thy servant, that he may do this work with holiness of heart. And when he had said these words, the spirit of the Lord was upon him. And he said, Helam, I baptize thee, having authority from the Almighty God, as a testimony that ye have entered into a covenant to serve him until ye are dead, as to the mortal body. And may the Spirit of the Lord be poured out upon you. And may he grant unto you eternal life through the redemption of Christ, which he hath prepared from the foundation of the world. And after Alma had said these words, both Alma and Helam were buried in the water. And they arose and came forth out of the water, rejoicing, being filled with the Spirit. And again Alma took another, and went forth a second time into the water, and baptized him according to the first, only he did not bury himself again in the water. And after this manner he did baptize everyone that went forth to the place of Mormon. And they were in number about 204 souls. Yea, and they were baptized in the waters of Mormon, and were filled with the grace of God. And they were called the Church of God, or the Church of Christ, from that time forward. Again, this was no secret. They all stood together, his family and his friends. And they rose, brothers and sisters in Christ. A public covenant made known to all. Beholding to one another now that they have made this covenant. Taking care of one another, bearing one another's burdens. And it was the desire of their hearts. A declaration that they are going to serve God for the remainder of their lives, no matter the cost. And so, service. Service to others. I'm going to go into Ephesians in the 6th chapter. Ephesians 6. There are many kinds of service. You know, we as Christians are expected to serve not only each other, but those around us. You know, in these times, slavery was different than kind of what we think of slavery as. It's more of like an indentured service type of thing where they would go in and they would have a master who owned them. They would usually work off a debt. And it usually was a certain amount of time. But once they paid that debt, then they were free. And so that was the most common type of slavery back then. And so there were slaves and servants and masters. And much of the church at that time went out to these poor people, these people who were slaves, servants. They could not choose to leave. They had to stay where they were at. And knowing that, you know, we're given this wisdom. I'm going to start. Ephesians 6, the 5th verse. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatenings, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there any respect of persons with him. And so this is not an endorsement of any kind of slavery, but this is the, no matter where you find yourself, if you find yourself in a job that you don't particularly care for, but you're stuck there, you're supposed to work as you're working for the Lord in that job. If you happen to be a manager or a boss, that's how you're to treat your people, like you're treating one of the children of God, even if they're unruly. You know, because God is no respecter of persons. He does not hold the slave above the master or the master above the slave. They're all equal in God's eyes. And so, wherever we find ourselves, we serve. Even though it may not be directly related to anything Christian act that you can think of, but just going into work and doing the best job that you can, the best of your abilities. You know, that's required of us. Serve the masters over you, and masters, serve those in your charge. I'm going to go to Messiah in the 2nd chapter. A lot of good stuff in Mosiah. This particular verse of scripture, King Benjamin has been speaking to his people. He's soon going off to die. He can feel that. It's his last part of his life. And he wants to give his subjects his last bit of wisdom and counsel before he passes on. And so in the 2nd chapter of Mosiah, we go over into the 43rd verse. He's talking about how they should treat each other. How they should take care of one another here. I would that ye should impart of your substance to the poor, every man according to that which he hath, such as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, and administering to their relief, both spiritually and temporally, according to their wants. And see that all these things are done in wisdom and order, for it is not requisite that a man should run faster than what he hath strength. And again, it is expedient that he should be diligent, that thereby he might win the prize. Therefore, all things must be done in order. To me, that tells me you must care to the others to the best of your ability. We don't have the ability to feed all the hungry. We just don't. I can't do it. But I can feed the ones that come across my path. I can't clothe all the naked. But I can probably clothe the ones that come across my path. You know, and I think it's a very important phrase in here in verse 44. And see that all these things are done in wisdom. Now, it's something I've said before. You know, I don't really believe in giving, just giving money to people. I don't think that's wise. I think that's what he's talking about here. You know, when I read these things, you know, feeding the hungry does not say give them money. It says feed them, you know. Clothing the naked. Again, giving them clothing, not giving them money. I'm a true believer that, you know, while these people have needs, they don't need money. Quite typically, they'll spend that money on something else. It's not what we would want them to spend it on. You know, I was with my wife, and not too long ago, we were taking a walk, and we saw this man. He looked like he was hungry. We asked him if he was. He said he was, so we bought him some food. You know, and I was, a week later, happened to see the same man. I walked in this gas station where I was at, and he was over at the lottery ticket thing, buying lottery tickets with money. Now, I wonder, did that person give him that money because they thought, you know, hey, you need a lottery ticket? I kind of doubt it. I bet he probably said he was hungry, or said he needed something to eat, or said he needed something to drink. And they believed it. He probably did need something to eat or something to drink. But then he got a better idea. You know? And is that wisdom? Is that taking care of his needs? I think not. So make sure that you do these things in wisdom. Wisely given. You know, we have this example, this wonderful example of Jesus Christ. This wonderful written record that he has given us. You know, in Christ, esteemed himself as a servant. I'm going to turn over in John. John in the 13th chapter. This is the Passover feast, Last Supper, before Christ is to go off and be crucified. In the 13th chapter, you know, they've completed the Passover at this point. In the beginning of the chapter, he knows what's about to happen to him. He knows who's going to do what. Think about that. Who was sitting in front of him at this time? Starting in the 4th verse, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. And after he had poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, my feet, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So we have this wonderful example that he left us. I kind of want to take you back in a minute. You know, he was sitting there with the 12. He comes to Peter. Peter was the one who was going to deny him. Peter was the one going to say, I don't know him. Christ knew this. And what did he do? He washed his feet. Despite the hurt and the denial, he washed his feet. Judas sat there at this table. The very one who would betray him and give him up. And his feet were washed. It's a very powerful, powerful statement. Even though he's denied, even though he's betrayed, he still goes on and serves them and washes their feet. And so, we have this great example that no matter what condition we find ourselves in, we have a duty to serve. Those of you that have been baptized have made this declaration and all. It's been written down. It's been witnessed. We have a duty. We must serve. Even those that betray us. Even those who say unkind things. We have this duty. We have a duty to serve God. Again, I'm going to go back to Messiah. In the first chapter, Messiah 1, I'm going to read 48 and 49. Behold, I say unto you that because I said unto you that I had spent my days in your service, I do not desire to boast, for I have only been in the service of God. And behold, I tell you these things, that you may learn wisdom, that you may learn that when you are in the service of your fellow beings, you are only in the service of your God. I'm going to jump over to verse 53. And I say unto you that if you should serve him who hath created you from the beginning, and are preserving you from day to day by lending you breath, that you may live and move, and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from one moment to another. I say, if you should serve him with all your whole soul, yet you would be unprofitable servants. Behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments. And he hath promised you that if you would keep his commandments, you should prosper in the land. And he never doth vary from that which he hath said. Therefore, if you do keep his commandments, he doth bless you and prosper you. You know, serving others is serving God. It's what we do. We have this debt that we can never, ever repay. But he doesn't ask a full payment. He only asks our service. You know, there are rewards to this service. I just mentioned, he will prosper us when we serve him. Look over in Hebrews, in the 11th chapter. Hebrews 11, one verse, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, diligently seek him. It's something that we must do with, I say, think of the right word, you know, something that we have to do with excitement, with pleasure, with, you know, looking forward. You know, with a passion. That's what diligent tells me. Diligently seek him and he will reward you. He will honor your faith and your service. Going back over into Matthew, the 25th chapter. My brother read the first part of this morning. Or let's say this is the middle section, I guess, about the servants who have the talents. I'm going to pick up a little bit after that. The next part of this. Matthew 25. I'm going to start in verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set them, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer, and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. We have this great gift ahead of us for this service. This life everlasting, living forever in his presence. Living forever in peace, joy, and happiness. And that is the reward which we seek, which we will get. We may not get anything out of this life. We may not get much at all. But it's not where our treasure is. I have one final story to tell you. This woman, I have no idea how to pronounce her name. Iphigenia. It's amazing. She was in Rwanda in 1994 during the huge, huge genocide which took place there. Her family, living in a village, was murdered by the Hutus, I believe is the tribe. She was not of that tribe. So this band of men came and they murdered her family right in front of her, buried them alive, caused them horrible, horrible pains. And she had to witness that. She was able to escape. She didn't succumb to that fate. And she survived that genocide. She survived the rest of that war. Eventually the government got control of that situation. And they began to arrest all these people. There were hundreds of thousands that were charged. And it turned out it was just far too much for those courts to handle. This man, Bizimana, I think is how you say that. He was the man, he was her neighbor. He murdered her husband, and her boys, her daughters. He spent 7 years in jail, and much of that time he was just waiting to get a court case, just waiting. And the government finally stepped in and said, all right, there are too many to handle. We cannot handle this. So we're going to take the worst of the worst, the planners and the ones that killed the most people. The government, they're going to be the government's responsibility. All the rest of these, what you call low level, I guess, murderers, we're going to give over to the villages. And the village leaders, you are responsible for these murderers. Do with them as you will. And so, they came out. And this man came back to his village. And they had this tribal court. And she was there. And he came in and he begged for mercy. Begged for forgiveness for the lives which he had taken. And during this time, while he was away and in prison, this woman befriended this man's wife. Well, he was gone away. She didn't have much of a way of taking care of herself. So this woman taught her how to weave baskets. And together they were weaving baskets, and that's how they had a friendship which bloomed. It took her, she said in the story I read, she didn't talk to her for 4 years, which is understandable. But then one day she saw this need. She saw an opportunity to serve. So she began to teach this woman how to weave baskets. And then her husband came back. And here he was, admitting to the wrongs that he'd done, throwing himself at the mercy of the village. And in front of everyone, she gave forgiveness. Forgave that man. For all his sins. And when asked, how is it that you were able to forgive this man? Short, simple statement. I'm a Christian, and I pray a lot. She was not looking to change the world. She didn't have great many talents. She could weave baskets. And she could forgive. So I pray that all of you make a public declaration. And you find those places where you can serve. I thank you for your time.